The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast. My name is Gordon Smart, and I'm here with producer Vin, who is wearing a white Adidas t-shirt with three stripes in the shoulders, something that I had and wore almost every day when I was 18 years old.
I'm going to wear it out. It's great. It's a great new t-shirt. I'm going to wear it until there's holes in it.
Do you match your sambas with it?
I should have done.
You should have done.
I should have done.
Vin's got a strong samba game.
I've got the right ones as well. I've got the right, white and
black. You do. You've got the perfect outfit.
Oh,
you
look like a failure.
Well, you could look like a basketball referee, so you've got to be slightly careful with that. Now, this is the Evening Show podcast, and there's some great stuff lined up for you today. Matt Bellamy from Muse is on the show chatting away to us all about the new material he has coming. And I tell you what, we now know that there is an album coming in November from Muse with three songs, and as he tells us, one bonus track we didn't know about called Pressure.
Which is like absolute peak Muse.
He said, yeah, yeah. If you're a Muse fan, something to look forward to. So a little secret for us. That's the kind of stuff we get on the Evening Show podcast. And classic album chat this week was Gorillaz Demon Days, their second album, 2005. And Vin, I think we were both in agreement, it's one of their best.
It's incredible. It's so much funk on that album.
It's nice going back to it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Reminded me of a happy time.
Well, we both sort of said the same thing, didn't we? It was the one where we both got into Gorillaz.
Definitely. Really. Well, Kids With Guns and Dare are two of my favourite Gorillaz songs.
Yeah, amazing. And El Mañana, all that stuff. Really? And we've got Gary Delaney on the podcast as well.
Ah, Gary Delaney, what a comedian he is. You might, if you look his name up on the internet, it says Gary Delaney, dirty jokes. Do we need to give him a bigger sell on that? This is the Evening Show podcast. I hope you enjoy.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
We have got none other than Matt Bellamy on the, whatever we call it now, FaceTime right now. Matt Bellamy, how are you doing, Chief?
I'm great. How you doing? You good?
I feel like we've got a virtual relationship. I only ever get the chance to catch up with you when we are speaking through the medium
of... You're my best FaceTime friend, basically, again, isn't it?
Matt, you're looking phenomenal. Can you set the scene? When are you in the world right now?
Yeah, I'm in my backyard. I live in the woods in LA. I like getting a bit of shade from the sun there. So you can see I've got these redwoods in my back garden that are like about 200 feet high.
What you've managed to do there, Matt, is recreate the southwest of England in Los Angeles.
Basically, yeah, totally.
Now, Matt, since the last time we saw you, you've celebrated your 40th birthday, so happy birthday, first of all. Tell us what it was all about. How was it? Was it good?
Yeah, it was cool, yeah. Yeah, I was just sort of chilling out in LA with a bunch of friends, and didn't do anything too crazy. I was thinking of doing a Beatles cover band gig, but I couldn't get all the band together, so just chilled out, hung out with the family, with the friends, and... But I kind of pretended it wasn't happening, basically. I basically was telling myself I was 30. Yeah. I think I can pull off 30. I mean, look, come on.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm trying to believe I'm not 40 yet, but apparently I am, according to the
man. It's just a number, Matt Bellamy. It's just a number. Now, the new single is out, Something Human, right? New single, Something Human. It's the most acoustic Muse song I think I can... Well, it's the most acoustic song I've heard of for a long time. Was that a conscious decision to get the old acoustic guitars on there?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I mean, it's the first song I've wrote on the acoustic for about 15 years. There's a song on the first album called Unintended. There's a song on, I think it was Black Holes, called City of Delusion. But very rarely do I get the acoustic out. So it was, it's just something different, you know. It's been a while since I've written a song that way. And it kind of like felt like a good contrast after, you know, it's the first song I wrote after finishing the Drones tour, you know. So it was like me sort of coming, like a bit of a come down after a big tour and sort of just chilling out with the acoustic. And that's the song that came out.
The artwork is absolutely brilliant, right? It's got a bit of Stranger Things about it. And Teen Wolf as well. Are you going through this 80s revival like the rest of us at the moment? Was that the big inspiration for it?
Yeah, yeah. When I was growing up in the... I guess I was a kid in the early 80s, and I think some of my first exposure to music was through those films, you know? And it kind of occurred to me making this album that really... That probably had a bigger impact on my whole sort of visual aesthetic for Muse and everything. And like, you know, bringing in kind of fantasy and crazy stuff like that. So I think it's like, that video is like a mixture of Cannonball Run, Blade Runner, Teen Wolf, Bill and Ted's Adventure, all that kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, you're talking my language. It's fantastic. You know, we're children of 1980.
I think it's partly what's happening in the world, you know. Yeah. I mean, both on every level, there's some similarities, you know. I mean, yeah, things going cycles a lot, you know. And I think this decade, people are like quite enjoying, you know, dressing up, being a bit more, you know, creating characters rather than just being, you know, heart on sleeve all the time. And I think people like visuals that are kind of a bit more fantastical, a bit out there. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think, you know, it's not like, you know, in the 90s, it was all like everything. In the 90s, everything was deadly serious and everything was like earnest, you know. And I kind of feel like where we are now is people. But also, I think a sign of our times is this kind of like, you know, this sort of... doing something nostalgic but doing it in a way that seems futuristic, you know. And I think that's something that is very of the time, you know.
So the song's called Something Human. Can you give us a bit of an idea of what the inspiration was for the song and how you came about writing it?
Yeah, it was a pretty simple song, really. I just kind of I was doing the Drones tour, and I was pretty knackered on that tour, and it was and that tour also had quite a dark tone. You know, it was all about being like taken over by AI and drones, and you know, military brainwashing and all this kind of stuff. So after like doing a tour like that for, you know, like a year or so, I guess the first song I wrote was something that was a complete opposite of that, which is more like, you know, I just want to go home, get back to something normal, get back to normal life, basically, you know, after being on the road for too long, you know.
Right, well, here it is for the very first time on The Evening Show, right here on Radio X. This is Muse's brand new single, Something Human. How about this?
My circuits are blown. I know it's self-imposed.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Something human, human.
That was Something Human, Muse's brand new single on Radio X for the very first time on The Evening Show. Matt Bellamy is with me right now from what looks like the forest moon of Endor, but that is his house. It's beautiful, by the way. He looks great. Was that your dog running about in the background, Matt?
Yeah, that's Hazel, yeah.
Hazel?
Yeah, Aussie sheepdog, yeah.
Beautiful Hazel. Dog. Now, Matt, can I ask you a little question? Now, the new album's coming in November. We've been playing Dig Down and Thought Contagion an awful lot on Radio X. Will those songs both appear on this new album?
Yeah. So there's going to be four songs that come out, including... So there's three out now. Yeah, yep. The first two you mentioned, and then Something Human.
Yep.
And then it's kind of... And then we've got another song that's called Pressure. That's going to come out just before the album. That's like a more, like, straight Muse rock track, you know? That's yep. Like, yeah. It's like a different riff every 10 seconds, basically. And so that's going to come out just before the album, and then... And the album's going to be great. That's coming out in November. We've got 11 tunes on the album. Plus, there's going to be about 7 or 8 extra tunes that are like acoustic versions and stuff like that.
Amazing.
And we're just in the process of finishing that off right now. So we're pretty excited about it. And we're going to stick with this kind of visual theme that you're seeing in the videos. We're going to stick with that throughout all the videos. And also, we're going to try and find ways to translate that vibe into the live show.
Well, that's the thing. The Drones tour was so massive. It must be hard because you've kind of created a rod for your own back. Like, how do you set about making the show even bigger or even better?
Well, we're lucky because we've been living through this time where there's always new technologies around. Every time we come to do a new tour, there's always something new that you can use, you know. So we're exploring all the different new techs that are out there, and so we're going to find ways to do something brand new. And we're going to go out on the road with a big tour, hopefully next summer or springtime next year.
Just in time for Glastonbury, Matt.
Well, we've done that 3 times now. I'm not sure if they'll let us back.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Feeling quite nostalgic about this. Can't believe it was 2005. Demon Days, Gorillaz. What a great album. Their second album. It was special. 11th of May, 13 years ago it came out. I'm just reminiscing in the studio with producer Vin about how brilliant that album is. It's the album which Damon Albarn's eclectic side project really, really took off. Demon Days was massive. He enlisted the help, old Damon, of hip-hop producer Danger Mouse, an absolute superstar. And the album hit number one in the UK, number six in the US. How about this for a figure as well? It sold over 8 million copies worldwide. Probably paid for Damon Albarn's house in Notting Hill, I would imagine. Some figure that, 8 million copies just doesn't happen anymore. It includes songs like Feel Good Inc, Dirty Harry, It's Dare, Last Living Souls, El Mañana, and Kids With Guns. The long list of collaborations is pretty special too. How about this for a list of talent? De La Soul, Roots Maneuver, MF Doom, Sean Ryder, Nina Cherry, Booty Brown, and The Verve's Simon Tong. Brilliant eclectic list of superstars there. It really is a brilliant mix of genres as well. Funk, hip-hop, soul, indie rock guitars, and it does improve on the first Gorillaz record, I reckon. I don't think the first one was good, but the second one really, really took it on. Jamie Hewlett, who's the other part of Gorillaz, the brilliant artist, he said, let's repeat the same process, but do it better. Everyone thought it was a gimmick the first time around, but if you do it again, it's no longer a gimmick. And if it works, then we have proved a point. And they certainly did that. 8 million copies proves that in style, in spades. The album's been described very loosely as a bit of a concept album. Damon said it's meant to be a depiction of a journey through the night in which each track represents a confrontation with a personal demon. That is very Damon. Very, very Damon, his demons. One journalist in Entertainment Weekly reviewed the album, and I love this. It was spookier and blippier and more on the edge. How about that? Spookier and blippier. Sums it up absolutely brilliantly. So let's have two songs from Demon Days. 13 years old, I can't quite believe that, but here we go. Got Feel Good Inc and Dare.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
The
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
How about that? I'd like that song to play in the background of my life all the time. Absolutely brilliant. Tonight's classic album, Demon Days 2005, from the Untouchable Gorillaz. Eleanor Campbell sent us a lovely message. She says, Gordon, my high school boyfriend and I used to arrange to start listening to Demon Days at exactly the same time, so it would be like we were together, because neither of us could drive to each other's house. That's what music's all about. Thank you very much, Eleanor Campbell, for your memory of Gorillaz and Demon Days. So I just played you there, and I think you've probably heard the story on this show, actually. Sean Ryder didn't pronounce it's there because he couldn't. Instead, he sang it's there, and that version stuck. But did you know why Damon invited Sean Ryder to do it in the first place? Here's a little story for you. Sean Ryder was one of the most sympathetic people to Damon during the horrible battle of Britpop. When it was all getting really ugly, he was there for him. Damon said, Sean Ryder and Bernard Sumner were the only two who really cared about what I was going through, being constantly taken the mickey out of by Noel and Liam. There you go. How about that? Agony Uncle, Sean Ryder. And we started off with Feel Good Inc. from that album as well. It got to number two in the UK and won the 2006 Grammy for Best Pop Collaboration with Vocals. How about that? Remember the video as well. 2D Noodle dreaming about a floating island. And it was an idea that got revisited in El Mañana and then on the next Gorillaz album, Plastic Beach, which was brilliant as well. So there's quite a lot of bright pop songs. You can hear it in the background. Quite a lot of chipper, cheery noises. But it wasn't all about happiness and upbeat stuff. There's a bit of darkness on that brilliant song, Kids With Guns. And Damon said, it's inspired by a child in Damon's daughter's school who had shown up to school with a knife. He said, a nice boy just decided to pick up a knife and show it to his friends at lunchtime. It's part of the brutalisation of a generation that's going on at the moment. He's always got something to say, Damon, and he did it very, very well in that album. So how about that? Tonight's classic album, an absolute beauty from 2005, Gorillaz, Demon Days.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Gary Delaney is here. He's a star of many brilliant panel shows, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
But they're keeping a lot of people in work, aren't they, panel
they are,
shows?
They really are, yes. It's a little lifesaver. You go, right, how can you do what you do in little bite-sized chunks? And you get the magic of the edit. You do 3 hours and loads of it's rubbish, but people never get to see that. All of the things that don't work, or the things where you swear in the middle, or it's libelous, all of that disappears. And people just watch the 8 jokes that go out and go, hey, they're 8 great jokes. Yeah, they certainly are. Yeah,
I saw a great description of you, Gary. It said, he's the comedian Jimmy Carr would love to be. Or he's the comedian Jimmy Carr would try to be and hasn't quite done it yet.
Wow. That's clearly not true, is it? Let's be honest with you. That's a PR quote. I know Jimmy. I don't think Jimmy wants to be me. He's very happy being Jimmy Carr.
You've written for loads of people, though, haven't you? Because I remember you were writing for A League of Their Own.
I did a bit for them, I've done some stuff for 8 Out of 10 Cats. I did a bit of stuff for Mock before I was ever on it.
I read an interview recently with Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl, and he talked about the first time he remembers a royalties check dropping through the envelope. And I think it was something like $42 or something along those lines. And he said he was the richest man in the world. He went out and bought pizzas and beer and just felt great. Do you remember the first moment where you were paid for a joke? And do you remember what you spent it on?
Yes, I do. First time I was paid for a gig was when I started off. I said, I'm going to get a paid gig within 12 months or I'm going to give up because I'm not good enough. And after 11 months, somebody paid me £70 for a gig. So that was relief. That was quite close to that. And then the first joke I sold, it was a story. I do one-liners. I'm not very good at stories. I can write them. You swap stories in dressing rooms. So another comic said to me, hey, that's a funny story. Are you using that? And I'm like, oh, I'm not using that. It's not my sort of thing. I can't do that. And he goes, I'll buy it off you. I said, okay, £100. So I sold him this story for £100, and I bought a very early sat nav. It kind of dates you when it was. It was when Tom Toms were first coming out, and I couldn't afford a Tom Tom for £100, but there was a pretty cheap knockoff version. And that story, this guy went and used, and then I saw it in another more famous comics oeuvre and on their DVD and stuff later on, and I don't know whether that is just how it happened, but I suspect the person I sold it on.
No. So you're probably just you need a sell on clause in your jokes.
When you start off doing it, you don't know what these a lot of people don't talk openly about buying jokes
like it feels kind of Backstreet and Naughty. We're talking about these,
these
scurrilous deals done between big names. You know, I've got this vision of you with a cigarette and a long coat and a hat on, just having a chat with Jimmy Carr, who's shuffling dog-eared tenors in your pocket.
Oh, I wish it was like that. Yeah.
Well, we'll hear about your tour in just a second. Gagster's Paradise.
Oh yes, yes. We should definitely be mentioning that. We should probably have been talking about that a lot more.
We'll get into that in just a second. We'll get a little flavour of what Gary Delaney has in store for you on that tour, Gagster's Paradise.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X. He always crops up during the Edinburgh Festival and wins most years for the best gag, don't you? You've got a great track record. You won three times, is that right?
Let's talk about the word win. I have been in the top 10 every time I've been up there, but I've never won the thing.
Have you not?
No. And a couple of times I've had, you know, more than one entry in it, but no, I've never won that. That's the day.
It's a moral victory.
It's a moral victory. No, I've never won it, but I'm happy to be in it.
Before we were on today, Danny Wallace has a show, and when he first started off, he used to send bad jokes to famous people to get their feedback. So I remember he sent one to Ronnie Barker, and he sent a really discouraging, you know, a horrible message back saying, don't ever tell that joke to anybody ever again. Is there one joke that you've written that you're particularly proud of, that you just occasionally will be staring off into the distance and have a wee smile to yourself about how proud you are of?
What, that I'm pleased with it, or that it's awful?
Both. Well, bear in mind, we're on Sunday afternoon.
Well, let me see.
That rules out 80% of Gary Tilly's
material.
I've
got two jokes I particularly like in my new show. The one I can say on the radio is this. I went to have my tea leaves read. The psychic said, do you struggle with your weight? I said, how can you tell? She said, there's half a hobnob in the bottom of your cup. Right, now, I love that as a little joke. I think that's a lovely little story. Yeah. And the other joke would definitely get you an off
job right
away. So I will not do that.
So this is from Gagster's Paradise, right? That's, so you're going off on tour. That's why we're here.
Yes. Well, I'm writing a new show of new jokes.
Right.
Because I thought I'd do a new tour off the back of Live at the Apollo. I thought it was a good time to sell some
tickets. Perfect time.
So basically, I did that and then took 6 months off to sit in my office and write a new show.
Excellent.
I'm nearly done. Yep. I've got another week or so of previews, and I've got all the jokes written. I'm trying to find the right shape and the right links and all that sort of malarkey. But basically, I've got a new show with 200 jokes in it. I started off with 4,000. I whittled it down to 200. About 5% of what I use, and then that's what I'm taking on the road, and I'm doing 10 days at the Edinburgh Festival. I'm only doing 10 days because I get a bit lonely and fed up after that, and I want to go home. Yeah. And then I start touring in September, 5th or 6th September in Hull is the first one, and it will go round everywhere until people are fed up with me. It takes me a long time to write a show, so I milk every drop. I will
quite
go to
right
every
to
city,
so.
And if it sells out, I'll go there again.
And how are the nerves?
All right so far, but don't ask me again later.
Okay, I'll ask you in a second. More from Gary Delaney in just a second on Radio X.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Matt Bellamy's with me right now from Los Angeles. I'm putting him under a little bit of pressure tonight because, Matt, I'm going to go all Poirot right now. I'm going to go all Bergerac, British TV detective, because I want to get to the bottom of a bit of a conundrum we've stumbled across. Because you told me something, right, that was a brilliant answer.
Is this to do with Plugging Baby?
I'll remind you, right, okay. So this has baffled me, and I've been desperate to get to the bottom of it, so I'm going to remind you, right, when you came on the show, I think it was about 6 months ago, you gave us a brilliant answer about the genesis, the history, where Plugging Baby came from. So let me remind you, let me just give you a little example, right, here we go.
It sounds made up, but it was written above a sex shop in, I was living in this, I was living in this sort of commune type situation. And with a mate of mine, Jake, remember? And we'd end up, do you remember that little room on the side?
Yeah.
It was above, it's still there in Exeter, but we would rehearse above there because there was some space above it that no one was using. And that's where that song actually came to be. It's a plug-in baby, you can imagine. Yeah.
There's the inspiration. Finally, no.
That is factual.
So you told us back here, I think it was in January or February, about Plugging Baby being inspired by living above a sex shop in Exeter. But then you spoke to Christopher Moyles, our breakfast show host, and you told him this.
Plugging Baby was it was an Argos catalogue. We were flipping through an Argos catalogue in your room, weren't we? When we were about, and you flicked through, and we said, "What's this Plugging Baby?" It must have been a Glade thing or something. It just sounded cool. It just sounded like a good name for a song.
No, Matt Bellamy. They
are both true. They are both absolutely true. That song did come together above a sex shop in Exeter. That was when we first rehearsed it, first put the song together. But I got the title from an Argos catalog. Yeah, and so I'm somewhere in there. There's a connection that, you know, where the title came from was an Argos catalog, but where the song came from was being a bisexual. So they're both true.
I'm so relieved. I'm so relieved. I was like, oh no, all the Muse message boards must be laughing, thinking, ah, he's pulled the wheel over that Scottish idiot's eyes. But you know what? Even better, both stories are true. Thank you so much, Matt Bellamy. Thanks for joining us today as well. We really appreciate it. And listen, can't wait to see you with this new tour as well. When will we see you in the flesh on stage in the UK next?
Well, we're going to try and book a few smaller shows, maybe in December or something like that.
Amazing.
But in terms of the big shows are not going to be until probably spring or summer next year.
Fantastic, Matt. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to, what was your dog called?
Hazel. Yeah, Hazel's running around.
I'll let you get back to Hazel and the Forest Moon of Endor. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. The new song's fantastic. Thanks again. We'll catch you really soon.
Cool, man. Cheers.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Gary Delaney is here. When you type his name into the internet, it says Gary Delaney, Dirty Jokes.
Really?
That's the first thing that comes up.
Good to know that if my parents ever have a look, that's what they see.
It's your gravestone. Gary Delaney, Dirty Jokes.
I'd take that.
It's perfect.
Take that. That's fine.
Now, Gary, would you help us out? Because we always ask comedians and bands who come in about their worst gig, just as a little bit of inspiration to people who might be starting off, just so they know that it doesn't always end up being a Live at the Apollo or an amazing show, one that just makes you wake up in the middle of the night in a horrible cold sweat.
Well, I do one-liners. They're all little linguistic tricks. I was asked to do a gig in Berlin, a club called Blauer Montag, Blue Monday, at this big sort of, you know, big tent in Berlin. And they always had on German comics and German variety acts, and they'd always have on one English act to fly over and do, you know, 7 minutes in the middle. And I was asked to do that, and I said, well, look, I do a lot of puns, a lot of language-based stuff, and are they going to get that? And I know I can speak in English, because they'll all speak English, because they're very well-educated over there, but, you know, will they get the secondary meaning, not just the primary meaning of jokes? And the organizer was like, "We fine." And I was watching the show, and a couple of German comics were going up, and they were nailing it. My gosh, they were ripping the room. And I was sitting there, and I was rather, and this, like, I'll be honest, I'm not proud of it, but this is what I was thinking. I was going, well, they're nailing it, and they're German. I'm like, well, I'm going to be a lot funnier than that, right? And then after this couple of German comics was a very unusual little cabaret act, which still seems like it's something out of a dream. Before me was a choir of German school children doing an organized dance, holding torches above their heads, bobbing up and down while singing a medley of Beatles hits.
Of course they were.
And that was big in Germany in 2001 or whatever. Yeah. They were like, you know, come give me deine Hans with the, you know, it wasn't in German, but it could have been. You know, what's it? Sie lieb dich, ja.
Oh, dear.
And they loved the German kids with the torches. And I was like, well, hey, I'm better than a child with a torch, right? Yeah. So anyway, I go out pretty full of confidence. And it doesn't go well.
Oh, no.
I got two laughs. Now, when somebody says they got two laughs, you might think that means that two jokes worked. Mm-hmm. No. On one joke, a man laughed.
A man.
A single laugh is worse than silence because it highlights the silence. The laugh emphasizes the silence all around you. The only thing worse than silence at a gig is your friend at the back trying to laugh to help you. It's a pity laugh. It is failure. It smells of failure. It just lashes death upon you. Fantastic. So that's probably my worst ever gig. And it went so badly that after the gig, they changed the guidelines for English comedians appearing at that gig to include the suggestion, please avoid wordplay and puns. So I would like to apologise to Milton Jones, to Tim Vine, to Jimmy Carr, to everybody else who I ever cost work from what otherwise was quite a lovely trip to Berlin, because I ruined it for everybody.
I'd love it if there was a rule known as Das Delaney rule.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Nine Delaneys.
Oh, that's superb. Now, Gagster's Paradise is the name of the tour. Yep. You're going off in September, is that right?
Yeah, start off in September, going round the whole UK, anywhere I don't have to fly to. I will be going there until people are fed up with me. And people, if you just, and it's on my website, but basically Google my name.
Yeah.
If you Google Gary Delaney, the top thing that should come up with a bit of luck is my tour dates or possibly Dirty Jokes. Either, well, that's fine as well. I'm sure there'll be a link on there somewhere. Yeah. Or just on Twitter, Gary Delaney, that sort of thing. So it shouldn't be too difficult to find my tour dates. And wherever you are, I should be coming near there at some point. And if you like lots of stupid jokes and you don't have a moral compass, you'll probably enjoy it.
Gary Delaney on tour in September. Go and see him on Gagsters at Paradise. Thanks for coming in, Gary.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast. My name is Gordon Smart. If you enjoyed that today, please leave us a review and tell all your friends. This is the number one place to hear the big interviews with all the big acts. I'm back next week with another edition of the Evening Show podcast. Radio X.